Well, good evening. I don't think there's any more songs left, so I think we can go ahead and start. So, thankful to see you all out tonight. I hope that you all had a great worship this morning and a peaceful afternoon. I just want to say the singing these last 2 weeks, anytime we can sing, it's always beautiful to God. Or it's beautiful to God and beautiful to us, but these last 2 weeks has been some beautiful singing, and it's been very encouraging to me, and I hope it's been encouraging to all of you as well. So tonight we're going to be reading, starting in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to turn your Bibles over there, we'll be reading a parable tonight, talking about the solid rock and the sinking sand. I'm very thankful for John Lee and the songs he led. They went excellent with this lesson tonight, and so hopefully we're able to focus on those words and prepare our minds for this lesson. So starting in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount is given. It's Jesus' longest sermon given. He talks about some things such as the Beatitudes, that we are the salt and the light of the world. He tells us to love our enemies. He tells us to do good deeds, not for to be seen by men, but to be noticed by God. He teaches us how to pray, and he teaches us many more things as well. But this is what he ends the sermon with. So starting in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and its collapse was great." So I'm just going to start off tonight by talking about the sand specifically, and we'll come back and talk about the rock this evening. So the sand is, we know it's a delicate foundation. You can see this sandcastle behind me. If the water from in the background comes up and hits this sandcastle, it's going to fall. If it begins to rain, it's going to fall. Or if some dude's not looking where he's going, trips in it, it's going to fall. It's not going to last long. And it took a while, obviously, you can see, to build it. As Jesus points out, both these buildings were built. The one that was built in the rock and the one that was built in the sand, they both lasted at least for some time. So it shows that you can build on the sand and it can last for at least a little while, but eventually the storms are going to come and take it out. So I'd like you to imagine yourself as if you built your house on the sand. And thankfully you got all your loved ones out, all the your pets, all the things you want out of your house. But your house at the end of the day is destroyed because of the storm. And the feeling of something that you put so much time into, you decorated, you cared about being destroyed that's a terrible feeling, I'm sure. I'm sure there may be people that have experienced that feeling of a house being destroyed from a storm or whatever it may be. But I'm sure that's a terrible feeling to have. And I know for me in my personal life, especially for me in high school, I built myself up on a lot of worldly things. I built myself up on trying to fit in at school and to do things like that. And I failed miserably at trying to fit in, but I still tried. And it led me to a life that wasn't for God. And so my foundation was destroyed when the storms came, and I had to choose what I was going to do. And for some time, I still tried to get that sand back and start building again. But once you finally start getting the right material, the rock, that's when you're going to be able to build a foundation that will last. Because I thought I looked like this house on the left. I thought, you know, it was all nice and pretty. Everything was going good. The beautiful view. But then the storms came, and this is what I ended up looking like. And this is what the same thing will happen to all of us when we don't build on a secure foundation. So tonight we're going to start off by talking about the cornerstone. Jesus being our cornerstone. And it's the first stone that is set. I'm not an architect, but I do know that the cornerstone is the first stone that is set down. And it dictates how the rest of the foundation is going to be built. So you have to start with the cornerstone before you lead to any more of the foundation. And it's the same way for us as Christians. If you were to turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 4, begin in verse 11. And those verses say, "He is a stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there was no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. So this stone was rejected. Every single person rejected this stone. Brian did an excellent job at the Lord's Supper table talking about that you were the one that said the things to Jesus that put the nails into his hands, into his feet, that it was you and it was me. Did an excellent job displaying that point. And it's the same thing here, that we all rejected Jesus. We all said, we don't need you, and we'll come back and get you if I think I need you. But he became the chief cornerstone because we rejected him, and was going to become a chief cornerstone anyway. And he's the key to the foundation now for us as Christians, and that he's going to save mankind, as it says at the end of verse 12, if you choose to follow him. Also, John 15, if you want to turn over there, John 15, verses 4 through 5. This is where Jesus tells the parable of the vine and the branches. John 15, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The ones who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." So this shows that this cornerstone, we need him to do things of value. There's nothing you can do that's of true value without Jesus, because he dictates how you live your life. Even if it's a earthly task, the way you do it is by how Jesus would want you to do it. It's a Christian attitude. So things of true value you cannot do without Jesus Christ. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the great I Am. He's the one that you need to have in your life and focus on. Colossians 1:17 will say that he holds all things together. So without this cornerstone, you can't build this foundation. If you don't have the cornerstone, you can't do what I'm going to talk about the rest of this lesson. This is the most important part, is the cornerstone. You can't come back and build some rock and then have some sand. It's going to fall anyway. You have to start here, and then you can go and build the rest of your foundation. So this is the most important part, because he holds it all together. You cannot build without Jesus. I can't stress that enough. Now we're going to move to the foundation. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. And those verses say, "So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." So for that, I really want to focus on verse 20, and I'll read that verse again. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." So we have the cornerstone, and now we have to build the rest of the foundation. And this foundation can come from the apostles and the prophets. So, for example, if you're going through a difficult time, let's say you feel alone or isolated, you can think of Elijah. And, he went through a feeling that he was alone. So there's so many examples in the Bible that you can have this feeling of anxiety, and you can, get your phone out and Google, and there's so many verses that can help you with the feelings you have. That's one of the beauties of this technology we have now, is you can, you're feeling a certain way, and you can just verses about whatever is bothering you, and then you can feel that comfort and that peace. And so this book is how it dictates how we live our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 teaches that bodily training is slightly beneficial, but when you talk about spiritual training and training in godliness, it is beneficial for this life and the next life. So Jesus helps you live this life to the best of your abilities and correctly, and then it's going to help you make it to heaven. So when you find something that's difficult in your life, you find the godliness, and that's going to help you push forward and keep going in your life. Now if you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And those verses say, On that day, when evening came, and he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." After dismissing the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a fierce gale of winds developed, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling with water. Yet Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He got up and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Who is this that the winds and the sea obey him? That's your Savior and our God. So for this storm specifically, I know my dad's talked about this before up here, that if you look at the wording of the storm, it's an earthquake of a storm. So it was a terrible storm. And if you remember, some of the apostles are fishermen. So they've been through storms before. And so for them to be scared to the point of death, it's not, "Jesus, wake up, my extra pair of clothes just fell off the boat. I need help." This is, no, we're going to die. This is, how are you sleeping when we're going to die? And Jesus gets up, "Hush, be still." Peace. Perfect calm. That's the same thing that can happen in your life. When the storm comes in your life and it's difficult, just run to the foundation, Jesus, and don't just run to Jesus like a genie. It's not, "Jesus, I need you, this isn't going well," and then you leave and come back when it's going bad. This is, he's with you the whole time. He's with you every step of the way. And so you can say, "Jesus, I need you to help me. Hush, say, please bring me peace," and "Hush, be still," and it's peace and it's calm. And you're not alone. That's the power of God, and that's the comfort. Knowing your foundation is strong brings comfort. The fact that you can go through things and know that Jesus Christ is with you, the creator of all things, even cares about you, is amazing. And he cares about each and every single one of you. He counts, he knows the hairs on your head. For some of you, that's easier to count than others, but he knows the hairs on your head. He loves you all very much and cares about you. And so this foundation is just truly amazing, to know that Jesus is with us at all times. So now that you have the cornerstone, you have the foundation set, this is where you build it on living it. This is, you live your life as a Christian. So if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, read verses 4 through 10. So now, like I said, now we have this foundation. We have to choose to live this life every day. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will not be put to shame. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for unbelievers, a stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this they were also appointed. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received the mercy, but now you have received the mercy." So we are chosen people of God. Each and every one of us can be chosen. We all can be Christians, can all be a part of this family together, being founded on the rock, on the foundation. Now we can help each other as living stones to continue to build ourselves up and each other. It's the beauty of God put every single person in this room here for a reason, that I can help Drake Tabor, I can help Will Maley, I can help Jamie Taylor, that's my mom, but I can help anybody. So it's just, you can help all those people, which is such a blessing to have those people in your life. And so, yeah, just like I said, we've been building this foundation, and we keep going and pushing on. I'd like to point out at the end of verse 8, if you want to read that with me again, "For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word and to the..." I'm going to start over. "For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this they were also appointed." They stumbled because they didn't have the word. They stumbled because they were built on the sand, on the foundation that didn't last forever. God is not going to lead you to things that are going to make you stumble. He may test you, but it's for a purpose of trying to make sure that you are, to help you grow in your faith. He's not going to lead you to stumble. He's going to be with us every step of the way. And so if you don't have this foundation, you will stumble. It's going to be difficult, and it's going to be very hard. I know that this is a feeling that we probably have all felt at some point in our lives, that hopelessness, the what do I do? But Christ helps you get through those moments. If you would then turn back over to Matthew 7, where we started, and get the main idea of this lesson, we'll now talk about the rock. Starting again in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. One thing I like to point out is that Jesus doesn't promise us that we're just because you have Jesus, you're not going to go through things. That even though you're going through things, that he'll be with you, as I've been saying, that he's going to keep strengthening you. Because the comfort and the peace that you can have to know that God is with you is an awesome and amazing comfort. So I would like to ask you all tonight, what will you choose? Satan wants you to build on the sand. He wants you to build on these things that don't have worth at the end of the day. He wants you to predicate yourself on earthly things. He wants you to make your identity, whatever earthly passion you may have. He wants you to say, this is my earthly job. This is what I want to be predicated on. And the storms will come. That job may be taken from you. And then it's your foundation's gone. Then it's what do you have now? That there's no backbone, if you want to look at it in another way. So if you have Christ, that's the eternal stone. It's never going to be taken away. He's never going to leave you. But the only way that he would leave you is because you will leave him. He won't leave you. That might have confusing how I worded that. But he will leave you. You would never leave him. So Satan wants you to build your house on the sand. So don't let the biggest loser of all time, forever and always, win your soul and take you to lead you to hell with him. Because it's not created for you. It's created for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. So this isn't made for us to go there. It's made for him to deservedly so be there. And it's not made for us to be there. And we also have this hope. We don't need to be hopeless. God is the God of hope. We can trust and hope that God is going to get us through things, and he will. It may not be from an earthly standpoint, but the reward is worth more than any earthly comfort. Because the reward is eternal and forever. And he's going to get us through everything. That's only if you build on the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation, and then you live this life. This is how you get this eternal peace and comfort. If you turn over, we bring the lesson to a close to Hebrews chapter 10. Read verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. It says, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we can hold firm to this confession of our, hold firm to the confession of our hope. We're not going to waver. We stay strong, stand firm. Because he's faithful. God's not going to say he's going to do something and not do it. He follows through with everything he does. He is faithful and he is just. He's going to make sure that what he promised you will happen. And that's the beauty of our God. He's the most reliable thing you can have in this life. Because people will say, I'll be there for you when you need this, or I will do that for you. And then they may not. And it may not be that their intentions were bad. Maybe something came up in their life. But God is there 24/7, 365, every second of your life, he's there to help you. So I ask you tonight, what are you built on? Are you built on the temporary, the foundation that is going to be washed away when the storms come? Or are you built on the eternal foundation of Jesus Christ? If you need help rebuilding your foundation, now is the time. There's no better time than right now. We would love to help you. And as Gary Bryant said in our prayers, or in his prayer, that there are so many people here that would love to help you in your walk with Christ. If you need help starting to lay your foundation, now is also the time. It's time to have the cornerstone be laid down in your life and begin building and begin this life. And it's a life that you won't regret. So the storms are going to be coming, if they haven't already. And this is your moment right now to choose what you're going to do. So don't do it alone as well. There's, as I said, God's put these people around you for a reason. And he's always there, and these people in this room will be here for you. But if you need anything at this time, I ask you please come forward as we stand and sing.